not going to be something I'm going to be preoccupied is, but I am going to teach what I do believe the Bible says. And this is going to be a surprise. Just keep them out there just in case anybody else. Take them home, put them on your wall. So I'm absolutely positive you're going to have questions throughout this week and next week in particular. And so please don't hesitate to ask the questions. I was asked to teach this idea in Australia, and I said to Jason Young, I can't believe you want me to teach about that. But the church was real receptive and excited about it. It's just a different idea. It's going to be, when I first came across this idea, I rejected it first, and I thought, that's just stupid. And the more I researched it, the more I became convinced. And I'm not saying I'm 100%, but boy, I am right close to it. So it's all part of this Genesis 1 study. And it will actually open up many, many things in the Bible that we really didn't consider. So Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Okay, let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand these ideas. And I do pray that you'd help me to be able to explain it properly, that we might understand it. And if a person is not persuaded, that if they want to study further, fine. If they don't, that's their business. And I just pray you'd help us to honor your words. That's the intent. The intent is to honor your words and believe what they say, contrary to what we've been taught. If it goes contrary to the Bible, we're going to accept the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, brief review. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Okay, and then gap. And I gave several examples where God will jump 2,000 years. So the word and, verse 2, so something happened. Earth was without form and void. So Lucifer, in charge, destroyed, violent sin. God got sick of it, tired of it. And God, the earth was without form. The writer is writing in past tense. He's looking backwards on it. It's a parallel of Jeremiah 4:23. It's without form and void, void of inhabitants, a void of something. Darkness was upon the face of the deep dark. Darkness is God's way of hiding his judgment in order to not really completely, totally... It's part of the judgment, but then not totally to shock man or person or being in this time. Darkness is very instrumental. Okay, interesting word, face of the deep. Okay, the deep can refer to maybe the container of the universe, can refer to oceans, can refer to under the earth or whatnot, because remember when the devils went out of the maniac of Gadara, they said, you're going to send us into the deep. Okay, so the words the deep kind of has multiple definitions, as many other words do in the Bible. But face of the deep, very significant. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The waters aren't moving. It's the Spirit of God moving over the face of the water, not head of the waters, the face of the waters. Okay, and if you would, Hebrews chapter 11. One of the things that evolutionists will continually do is they'll continually say that science and the Bible are contradictory. Okay, that is not true. Okay, that's not true. Now, pseudoscience and the Bible is contradictory, but not true science. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, substance, that's what scientists work with in experiments. Substance. Evidence, that's what attorneys use in court situations. So you have both of them in this. That's what valid faith is. Valid faith will have accompany with it some evidence, some substance. Okay, what accompanies that faith? By it, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed as in like a carpenter, framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Okay, so God spoke it into his spoken word. Verse 6, but without faith, okay, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that faith is defined up in verse 1. Valid faith has substance and evidence. Okay, so if you're walking through a woods, you find a watch. What can you conclude? Evidence, watch. Substance, watch. Okay, so what can you conclude? Did that evolve there from billions of years and land up there and then you showed up? No, logically, you know there was an owner, there was a creator, there was a designer. That could be one and the same, where the person who designed and then made the watch and then owned it, or it could be three separate people. But you won't see any of those, but you saw the evidence of it. And that's what science is. You're observing the evidence. Now, one thing I've learned through time is that, and the Bible teaches this, if we would look in Acts 17, if you're having a discussion with somebody, okay, it is wise to try to find a point of agreement, okay, with that person. Okay, that's what we saw with Jordan Peterson. He would bring up that. Try to find a point of agreement or use their authority, what they claim to be their authority. In Acts 17, Paul is in Athens. Athens was known for knowledge. They're always seeking something new. Acts 17, verse 23. And he's gonna try to introduce to them, he's attempting to introduce to them Jesus Christ and the resurrection. So in verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." Now that right there was just kind of a backhand, a nice little backhand. They always say we're superstitious, but they are. All the new Bibles change that word. Then he says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Okay, so there's their point of agreement. An unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And then he says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth it to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. And then he uses one of their poets to introduce the first time the word Godhead. You know, this scholars say that's an extra canonical source. He's using their poets, and he mentions, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven art, man's devices," and so forth. So Paul is using their poet, their authority, their intellectual, somebody they would admire, to bring a Bible truth to them. Okay, now that doesn't mean that you have to read all this heretical material so you use your authority. I've learned that you can just talk to people and let them talk and you'll discover it in the conversation. So you don't need to take all that time. Okay, Paul did this one other time that I can recall, Titus chapter 1, verse 12. Titus 1, verse 12. Okay, Paul is talking about the Cretans. It's an island there in the Mediterranean. And he says in Titus 1, 12, we'll just look at the one verse. He says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. In our culture, that would be like a black man who would be conservative that comes out for Trump, where the Democrats think that they've got all the blacks in their back pocket. And when a black man does come out and says the same thing that a white man could say, but they won't accept it from a white man, they'll accept it from him, and they'll start blackballing that man like Kanye West, what they did to him. Okay, and so actually what you're doing is you're using their authority, but you'll discover they really don't believe their authority in reality. So what you're doing is you're trying to hit at their conscience. Okay, so with that in mind, okay, then we're going to go into science. Science will help us with this Genesis 1. It will help us discover there are two different ways we can go on the earth. Okay, the heaven and the earth. We've been taught one way. We've been brainwashed, brain whatever, one way, all of us, all our lives. Okay, is there another choice? And that's all I'm doing. I'm just going to weigh the choices and look at them both scientifically and scripturally. Okay, the purpose of this. Now, I've left this blank, so you have to write this down if you want to. Okay, so the purpose of this study is to realize that we can glorify God by believing His words. We don't have to add any word to the Bible. We don't have to subtract any words. We can actually believe what is said. Now, we do know that the Bible does speak figuratively sometimes. Okay, but there are many times where God is speaking literal, and then man, because he doesn't want to believe it, says that that's figurative. And on the subject where we're heading into, if you still think it's figurative, that's fine and dandy. It doesn't matter. Okay, glorify God by believing the word. And a second reason, it gives purpose in life to please God. How does an evolutionist live? I have no idea. If there was an accidental explosion 20 billion years ago, and the earth is accidentally here, and you are an accidental electrical charge, how do you have any value in life? But if you realize that God made heaven and earth, He made it for a purpose, and Psalm 33, verse 10 says, He is looking at the inhabitants of the earth. He is interested in the people on the earth. He's not interested in the earth body per se. He created that for His pleasure. But He wants the inhabitants on the earth to fellowship with Him. And that gives us purpose and meaning. Psalm 33, verse 10 is about Israel. And it says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. That gives us value. Gives man value instead of some explosion accidentally taking place. Okay, and then he says it also in Psalm 115, verse 15. Another one I has written it down. It says, ye are the blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath He given to the children of men. Not the moon, not Mars. So, somebody's trying to deceive us. making billions of bucks doing it. Okay, so the earth hath he given to the children of men. Isaiah 51, verse 12. Okay, this one, he says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and the everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as grass? And then 13, and forgettest the Lord thy maker that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations, like he said, he framed it, the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Okay, now this one we'll just kind of read down through. There's a contrast between science and pseudoscience. You could call it fake science, pseudoscience, scientism, Scientology. Okay, Daniel 1. The word science is found twice in the Bible. And one is Daniel, where it says Daniel understood science. So that would be the good science. Okay, that's the good one. So we're going to look at the good one. And we're going to use the definitions by the world, which happens it would comply. We can comply with these definitions. Okay, the first one, I looked up the word science. I hit my computer, my laptop, word perfect. And it says science. Here's the definition. The intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experimentation. Now, I highlighted two there. Observation, experimentation. That's science. I could say I agree. Amen. And then I could simply ask him, did you observe the Big Bang? No. Have you experimented with it? Have you taken a test tube, put a lid over it, nothing inside, and then sat there and watched it explode, and then a planetary system came as a result of it? No, I've never done that. Then how can you call it science? From your definition. You didn't observe it. You cannot demonstrate it in the laboratory. You cannot call it science. It's pseudoscience. It's a belief. Okay, from their definition. The next one I found online, I just typed in science online. The first one that came up, I looked at the definition. You'll see it's almost word perfect with the word perfect that I had. Word perfect, perfect. Almost identical. They still say systematic study. We're not opposed to study. We're not opposed to education. Physical, natural world. We're not, we see that. We observe that. And experiment. Then I went to Wikipedia and got their definition. Now, Wikipedia has got to impress you. You see they use bigger words. But it's saying the same thing. It is a systematic enterprise that creates, builds, and organizes knowledge in the form of testable explanations and predictions about the universe. Testable, what's that? That's experimental. That's another way of saying experiments. And then it says, contemporary science is typically subdivided into the natural sciences, which study the material world, the science, the social sciences, which study people and societies, and the formal sciences like mathematics. Now, I'm going to go into that one because there's a common saying, numbers don't lie. And that one will be significant in our study probably next week. So what do we use in science? Our five senses. Our five senses. Sight, smell, hear, taste, feel. That's our five senses, okay? So that's what we use. We observe it with our eyes. We could hear it, okay? If somebody walked in the room and saw me and said, good afternoon, Pastor, okay, I could not sign an affidavit and say, like it, write this. I could not write it and say, so-and-so came in and said, good afternoon, Pastor, to me. I could not sign that. What I could sign is, So-and-so, I heard so-and-so say, good afternoon, Pastor, when it came into the room. Why? That's one of my five senses. If I just said they said that, they could refute it. But you can't refute what I heard. That's my testimony. That's very precise in writing, but that's very detailed. That's very important in law stuff. It's the difference between upon information and belief versus something of my own certain knowledge. So we use our five senses, okay? So I gave you a handout. So you're using your sight senses. If you're writing, you're using your feeling. If you tear off a corner of the page and make a spit wad, you've used your taste senses. Okay? If you smell, okay, now we're getting more involved here and you're feeling it. So the more you use, the better off we are. Now there's another one called a sixth sense. Okay, now the New Agey movement says that your all-seeing eye here come from your pituitary gland, I think, or pineal gland. Okay, it's what sometimes ladies have called intuition, your sixth sense. The sixth sense, I would say, gets into spiritual understanding. Okay, that would be our Bible. Okay, that's where the Bible would say inspiration. The New Agees would claim it's the third eye, clairvoyance, divination, ESP, okay, or like Curly EPS, I think how he had it, something like that. Okay, but we could rely upon Scripture. But you know, there's some things in Scripture you're not going to understand. There's some things in life you're not going to understand. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. There's a lot of things I pray about. I just say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm not to lean on that. I'm to lean on trusting. Okay? And so, if the Lord gives us understanding, wonderful. Okay, now the pseudoscience passage is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We know all the new Bibles change the passage. Okay, First Timothy. Did I say 1 Timothy? Okay, good. Washed my mouth out with soap and got my eye tooth behind something. So. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science. Notice, falsely so-called. A lot of Christians go into like the colleges and their faith is destroyed by evolution. That's a false science. That's an opposition. Now, this false science will contradict itself. All heresies contradict themselves. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. A man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, knowing that he that is such sinneth, and being is such subverteth and sinneth, being condemned. Condemned of himself. So, any false doctrine, if you just pay attention and listen to them, they are always contradictory. False doctrines are. Okay, now what I gave you is three quotes. Okay, I put this on a track entitled "The Religion of Evolution." Now they don't want to call it that, but it is that. And I am quoting from evolutionists, professor. I'm not quoting preachers. I'm quoting their authorities by these definitions, by these statements. Okay, biologist L. Harrison Matthews. He wrote the preface to the 1971 edition of Origin of Species. Now, we know that would be a reprint of Charles Darwin's book. Okay, about the origin of species. So he's obviously in support of origin of species. So here's what he wrote. The fact of evolution is a backbone of biology, and biology is thus in a particular position of being a science founded on an unproved theory. Okay, from our definition of science, since he cannot experiment that, then it's not science. From their definition. Is it then science or a faith? It's faith. Belief in the theory of evolution is thus exactly parallel to belief in special creation. Both are concepts which believers know to be true, but neither up to the present have been capable of proof. That's not a Baptist preacher. That's not a Bible thumper. That's a professor, the religious professor in a state school. That's why when Bill Nye was down there at Purdue, I would call him Father Bill. Come to Father Bill's religious cataclysm tonight. They didn't really appreciate that. But that's what it is. Okay, Professor George Wald, a professor of biology at Harvard University, a Nobel laureate. Man, he got a Nobel Prize or nominated for it in medicine and physiology. He wrote in a magazine, Scientific American, the title of the article, The Origin of Life. Okay, I found this in the library at St. Joe College. And he admitted, when it comes to the origin of life, there are only two possibilities. Creation or spontaneous generation. That's a very scientific way of saying evolution. Okay, spontaneous generation. There is no third way. He's right. I agree with him. Spontaneous generation was disproved 100 years ago. I don't know what he's referring to. And that leads us on to one other conclusion, that of supernatural creation. We cannot accept that on philosophical grounds. Therefore, we choose to believe the impossible that life arose spontaneously by chance. Now, I would change one thing in a statement. It's not that we cannot, it's we will not. That's if he's honest. Okay, and the last one, so we got three strikes that are out. The Darwinian theory of evolution has not a single fact to confirm it in the realm of nature. It is not the result of scientific research, but purely the product of imagination. That's their admission. That's some good information. Okay, I use those with kids at Purdue. Okay, if you would, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, this is not only history, but this is prophecy. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So there's the second time the word Godhead we've read tonight. So that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. So this man said, Professor Albert Fleischman said, it is not the result of scientific research, but purely the product of imagination. And the Bible says, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing. So that's where Professor Albert got his title. He opposes the Bible, but he gets his title from the Bible. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They think we're the fools by believing in creation, and they came from a monkey. I think they're nuts. I think they're mentally imbalanced. My sweatshirt, liberalism, find a cure. It does wonders in those places. And he said, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image make like an uncorruptible man into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You go that backwards, that's evolution. Okay, so Let's see, is that on? So I'm going to go to, as soon as that turns on, there, start. I'm going to use their suggestions or ideas. Let's see, I'm going to take that down. And show you, they don't really know what they believe. Okay? Okay, Ed, you got mic 2, 3 on, please? This one, I want to use the volume.
The Earth is officially classified as an oblate spheroid, meaning that it's bulging at the equator and it's flattened out at the poles. Here's a short clip with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
So,
Neil deGrasse is an expert. He's often asked. He's often on these sites. He's the brainy one. Him and Bill Nye, kind of in the same, where they, these are the brilliant intellects. So let's see how smart he is.
Throughout its life, even when it formed, it was spinning, and it got a little wider at the equator than it does at the poles. So it's not actually a sphere. It's oblate, and officially it's an oblate spheroid. That's what we call it.
Can you hear it?
Not only that, it's slightly wider below the equator than above the equator.
A little chubbier.
A little chubbier.
Yeah.
Chubby's a good way. It's like pear-shaped.
So apparently it's a pear-shaped oblate spheroid. Sounds fine to me, but there seems to be issues when NASA puts out images of the Earth.
They're always perfect spheres, and some of these are claimed to be single shots. Not only that, but the images that NASA gives us are never really consistent. Here's 3 separate NASA images of the Earth, and North America is a different size on each one.
Come to find out that NASA photoshops their images using CGI composites.
In 2002...
Okay, this is NASA talking how they get their pictures. This is not us lying about them. This is them confessing their deception.
Blue Marble 2.0. NASA's Rob Simmon made this. And it had wide appeal too. For example, it ended up as the default background on the iPhone. So the land layer here comes from
the Moderate Resolution Imaging Spectral Radiometer aboard Terra.
They stashed the clouds for later, went onto the ocean. That came from an instrument that measures phytoplankton in the sea.
Where it was low, I colored it dark blue because they're low mostly in mid-oceans. And then where it was a little bit higher, it was like a little bit brighter green.
Then add the clouds back in.
It is photoshopped, but it's has to be.
Then?
There was another layer to sort of simulate the atmosphere.
And then there's this little bright spot.
It's called the specular highlight. So it's the reflection of sunlight off of water.
Those are the pieces, but you can't just slap them all together.
It just didn't look realistic. It looks kind of flat, or the clouds are sort of too see-through. So I just hit Command-Z a lot.
There's artistry to creating the world.
What I imagine it to be.
What he imagines it to be. Billions of dollars going through these guys, and they don't have a picture. They don't have a picture. One says it's an oblate. He says it's a pear. It's oblate. But yet when NASA brings it up, it's a perfect circle. Who's right? Who's got first-hand knowledge? None of us have seen it. None of us have seen anything like that. In fact, that's the question God threw at Job. Have you ever seen the Earth, Job? You ever seen the face of the Earth?
Unfortunately, I'm not an astronaut. I've never been to space. I'm getting results that I like, but I think it's a little bit exaggerated. So I'm working on some techniques to try to tone it down a little bit.
So here we are in 2018. And we can't trust that we've ever seen a true image of the Earth from a distance. On one hand, we're told that we live on an oblate spheroid, and on the other hand, NASA pumps out cartoon balls that are perfect spheres.
That's a big help, isn't it? Okay, so here is what we're taught. Okay, well, you know, like a lot of Catholics don't know what they believe, so we'll see how we do. Okay, what are we taught on the Earth? Does anybody remember how fast it's supposed to be spinning at the equator? How fast are we supposed to be spinning at the creator? I mean at the equator. 1,040 miles an hour. At the same time, so we're spinning, but yet they're traveling around the sun. How fast are we traveling around the sun? 66,600 miles per hour. 666. Tilted on its axis, tilted 23.4 on the axis, which means you've inclined to 0, 23.4, 6, 6, 6. Who came up with these ideas? Masons did. Now, they say that the reason why we don't feel the spinning of the earth is just like when you're riding in a car, you don't feel the speed. Agreed. Agreed. But they're not saying we're spinning one direction. They're saying we're going this way and this way. So if you have your car and you're going 70 and then the car starts spinning this way, you will feel that spin. Okay, but we're not done yet with what they tell us happened. Okay, so this is the description. Okay, here's what they're going to describe. What you and I, as you're sitting here, since we're not at the equator, we're traveling probably about 700 miles an hour. Going 666 miles an hour this away. Oops, what happened? There we go. Okay, so, and then the sun is traveling at 483,000 miles per hour through the galaxy. And then the whole solar system is traveling at, I got on your thing, on the paper, 1.3 million galactical annual years. Anybody getting tired? That's what they say. They say it's a vortex. But yet, we can have a day with not a bit of wind. How is this taking place? That's what they're saying that we're doing right now. And what is keeping everything spinning around the sun is this thing called gravity. And they asked Neil deGrasse, what is gravity? And he said, I don't know. But then he kind of weaseled his way out of it. So all I'm doing is, a lot of times when you deal with something where maybe the idea could be wrong, I'm not saying it is, but if it could be wrong, in the Bible, inspiration occurs when a person says, now that makes sense. This don't make sense to me. Who came up with this idea? Evolutionists did. You say, well, maybe they're just wrong on this part and that part. And that's true, they might be. I'm not going to discredit that idea. Okay, but still, what I'm saying, if we go to science and try to study these things out. Okay, here's my next one. Okay, so this is NASA's blue ball that they just admitted that they did it through CGI. CGI is computer-generated image. This is another one. You can see different colors. It's not the same image. Different colors. Totally different colors. Different size. Okay, now here's where your chart I gave you on. This is where numbers don't lie. This is probably the most popular map where they say they're taking it from a globe to flatten it out. Okay, so on there, let's see if I got a copy. I don't. Lucas, could you hand me some copy? You got one on you? Okay, on this map, you know where Greenland's at? See at the top? I wish I had my laser pointer, but I don't. Greenland, on your map, okay, notice Greenland is 836,000 square miles. The white part at the top, that's Greenland. And Alaska is 663,000 square miles, so it should be about the same size. Africa is almost 12 million square miles, and look on this map, it's almost the same size as Greenland. Man, that's a big difference. United States is 4 times larger than Greenland, according to their numbers. But Greenland's bigger than the United States, Europe, and South America. All I'm saying is the map's not right. That's all I'm saying. Okay? And this is probably the most popular. Okay, the next map is similar. I think this one's called Peter's map. This one seems to be a little bit closer, but you'll see Greenland is still too large. Okay, here's the next map. Similar. This one almost looks like Africa, looks like a giraffe, tall and skinny. But still, now they got Greenland at a little bit better proportion versus all the others. But here's one where they, whoever designed this map, tried to put it squared. But they're getting closer. But notice that Greenland is appropriate size. Okay, and the next one. This is an azimuthal equidistant map. This is found at the United States Geological Survey. Okay, this, what makes it, what was confusing about this map is each of these squares, as they get smaller toward the center, but in actuality, they're the same size. That's why it's called equidistant. So when you look at the squares and compare them, Australia looks like it's out of proportion, but according to the squares, it's the same size as the United States. And what they're trying to, it's kind of, you know, when you got that circle like that. And on this one, okay, this is what the United States Geological Survey uses for airplanes, for travel, and I don't know, for surveying, okay, but still, this is one of the official maps, like I said. It's used for showing airline distances from center point of projection. In this one, the North Pole is in the center. Okay, so the North Pole's there, and the South Pole is here. All the way around. And that's what that map, never seen that map before, have we? Okay, this is more known than people know, and the North Star would be right above the North Pole area. This is what the Jews taught. That's what they taught. That's what Moses and all those folks taught. Other ancient civilizations I might show next week also taught this similar idea. Now, there's an option. That's a very unusual option. The azimuthal equidistant map has been around since 1000 AD. So it's got a lot of track record on that one. Okay, the globe, does anybody know when the first globe was made? 1492. First time. So what we've been taught has the maximum 500 years history. What the ancient Hebrews taught was from creation to now, whatever, is what they've been taught this. And so all I'm going to do is we're going to kind of look at that. We're going to look at both sides. We're going to look at two options here because there's usually two options in a discussion. And is that a viable option? So what this one is, it will be this one, but then it puts a dome on top of it, what we call a planetarium. A planetarium is a I think we went to the planetarium down at last time with Brent. We didn't go to the Ark. We went to the other section. Yeah, Creation Museum. Brent and all the kids. And they got them seats that kind of lean back. I mean, I think I saw the first 60 seconds of the video, and I woke up at the end of it. I had a very good nap. But in Chicago, there's a planetarium. Okay, and a planetarium has this building, plane, with the dome on it, and the stars are projected on the dome. And you can see the stars. Now, is that a viable option? As we start looking at scriptures, we could probably run about 300 to 400 scriptures on this as we come through it. Okay, and so on this one, if you go to Genesis 1:2, it says face of the deep first, then it says face of the waters second. In science, what do we know the water does? What does water always do in science? Seeks its own level. It's called sea level, right? So that would, on this, in my mind, make sense. On this, I can't figure that out. Whenever I've put water on a ball and spun my basketball, the water spun off. That's the experiments I've done. I've never seen anything like that. I've never witnessed anything like that. None of us have. None of us have. And that's what God said to Job. Do you ever see that, Job? Job, did you ever see that? You never seen that. And none of us have. And so as we come through Genesis 1, I'm going to look at the two options that we have. Okay, that option is from the people that have admitted that that's CGIF. They've admitted that. And I want to show you one last video. This one's just kind of fun. And I'm just going to play it and see if you can see what I see. And we might play it again. Okay, this is NASA. This is where a ship is supposed to be, a spaceship is supposed to be going up. Okay? I think you can see it good enough. See if you see anything. Now, the arrow is cheating, but... Okay, we'll show it again. I'll let you hear them tell about the launch.
There were very few vibrations of any sort. Here's a picture of the insect actually being deployed from the spacecraft. You can see that the deployment went very smoothly. At the moment of deploy, there was a lot.
So they're broadcasting this launch. Did anybody see the giant in there? Some guy's in the back. That's the games they play. There he is. Uh-oh, I better get out of the picture. Billions of dollars for that. Billions. And we can go on and on that idea. So... that I just want to present two options that a person can look at. We'll look at the Bible, and I know there's a lot of questions because I had a lot of questions on this. I thought, this is stupid. But when I started looking into it, and I started looking at the Bible, I said, wow, I never saw that before. And some things in the Bible make perfect sense. And I'll give you one real quick. When Joshua said... Sun, stand still. Was that figurative or literal? Okay, if it was figurative, what had to take place? The earth had to stop spinning. It had to stop traveling. The sun had to stop traveling. Well, I guess that could have kept going. But at least two things had to stop immediately. You ever ride in a hay wagon running about 5 miles an hour and a guy hits the brake on the tractor? You're going 1,000 miles an hour. Boom! It would have killed everybody on earth. Okay, and then Hezekiah, it went backwards. So he hit the brakes, and then went backwards. Or the Bible means what it says. And if it does, then we got to rethink our, and we got a lot of questions. We got to try to figure it out. And so if a person wants to take it figurative, I fully understand. Because I did a long time. But then when I started thinking about it, And so I do have videos that we'll run through. And I know the questions will come and we'll try to help with that. Okay, write them down. And then we'll just enjoy the Bible. Because that's what I enjoy doing, just seeing all these things in the Bible. I thought, I never saw that before. But again, I put this in what we call strange doctrine. I'm not going to be occupied with it. I'm still going to witness to people. But it was funny, when I was down in Memphis, Tennessee, standing about 20 feet from Brother Ken Lansing, two guys got talking to him, and they brought up this topic. He looked over at me like this. He said, I've never had to deal with that on the street. And so I had a conversation and tried to bring it around to the gospel. And I thought, okay, that's different. And that's how it works. Okay, we'll stop and pray. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. I do pray and ask you to help us to understand your words. And Lord, there's a lot of things in this Bible we don't understand. And we just pray that you'd help us to believe you. And then help us to be honest, to know if something is figurative, if something is literal. And just to study it for our own personal edification, not to try to impress anybody, not to tell everybody they're wrong, just because it's in the Bible. And help us to love your word. In Jesus' name, amen.